All right, I'm looking out of our studio window, and I don't see any signs of a 60% chance of rain. Does anybody out there see any rain? Supposed to have a 60% chance of rain. You know, we're in that pattern of warm weather when maybe that's going to be more prevalent just a little bit later in the afternoon. But I think there was a 60% chance of rain today, 70% tomorrow, and then 40%, Thursday and Friday, I guess. Good chance of rain for much of the week. I'm Scoot. I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend, and I hope you took some time to think about the men and women who lost their lives in serving our country and in fighting for our country and fighting for our freedoms. That's what we're supposed to do. It's more than a holiday to hit the beach, more than a holiday about buying something on sale. It's about remembering those fallen soldiers. And yesterday, during the solemn moment when a president speaks at the Arlington National Cemetery, the current president of the United States found it fitting to bring up Joe Biden, to take time out of honoring the soldiers to attack Joe Biden. And that is designed solely to make the president himself look better by bringing up a negative figure. And it's rather juvenile and kind of sad. And I think this is a legitimate question. If you were critical of Hillary Clinton for calling Trump supporters deplorables, are you equally as critical of Donald Trump calling Democrats scum? In my opinion, there's no difference. I'm sure a lot of people would say, well, I'd rather be scum than deplorable. Well, maybe that's because, you know, some people are scum. I don't know. But to me, there's no difference between the two. But this is the problem we have in this country. People are not willing to be honest when it comes to this current president. And if Hillary was wrong in calling people deplorables, and she was, and I called her out on the air for doing that, it was a terrible thing for her to do. It was a stupid thing for her to do, and she shouldn't have done it. But for Donald Trump to go on his social media site and call Democrats scum, that feeds his audience. But is that audience going to be hypocritical and not say anything? Or is that audience going to stand up and go, no, you shouldn't have done that, Mr. President. You shouldn't have said that. Well, I can say that, because I was critical of Hillary. But the problem is that there are Trump supporters who, deep down inside, they know he's wrong. But they will not say it. They won't even say it privately, because they just can't bring themselves to say anything negative about the president. We had a great call with a guy named Bob, who's in Manchac. He just moved back from Boston. And it was a great conversation. And Bob and I disagreed. We agreed on some things, disagreed on some, but it was a really great conversation. I think we're going to post that on the WWL.com website after the show, and it will also be posted on Scoot on the Air Facebook. And again, I want to remind you to join me on Substack. For some of you, it's going to be a brand new social media platform, but it's been around for a little while. It started out being just for journalists, but now it's been opened up, and I would love for you to join me there. And I'm going to shift a lot of what I do on Facebook to Substack. So you're going to need to join me on Substack to get what I do and also to comment on what I do. We've got some calls to get to. We'll get to those here in just a moment. Also, we'll talk a little bit about the president's revenge against Harvard. And there are a number of reasons for this, but essentially, Harvard is not listening to him, and he wants to punish Harvard. It kind of goes back to, and this is one of the earlier beginnings of his problems with Harvard University. It kind of goes back to Harvard allowed pro-Palestinian protesters on the campus. That's my understanding of it. And Trump supporters are pro-Israel. And so the president wants to shut that down and punish Harvard for allowing that to happen. Well, you might not like the message, the pro-Palestinian message, but that's part of freedom of speech. That's what freedom of speech is all about. And I have said countless times recently, it's really easy to support the speech you agree with. What is a challenge for real Americans is to support the speech they disagree with. And also, we've got to talk about this relationship between the president and Vladimir Putin. Because remember how friendly the president said they were? and that he had a friendly relationship, a good relationship. I don't remember his exact words, but he always implied that he had this really great relationship with Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin is slapping the president in the face. I mean, he's slapping Trump in the face with these attacks into cities in Ukraine, killing innocent people. And now there are some Republican politicians who are saying, hey, the president needs to do more to shut Putin down. But maybe Donald Trump is realizing that his relationship with Vladimir Putin ain't that great. And maybe he's also realizing something that most of us have known about Putin, and that is that the guy's a thug. But all along, the president thought he had this great relationship with Putin. Well, if it's such a great relationship, and he talked about this during the campaign, that's why he said, I'm going to end the war day one. I'm going to end the war on day one. Well, I knew that wasn't going to happen, but, you know, he hasn't even come close to ending the war now. And now peace talks are in jeopardy. So that whole thing is kind of blowing up for the president. All right, if you have a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Let's go to Clyde in Natchez. Clyde, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, it's good. How you doing, man? I'm back from California. Had a good time. Woke up this morning, a tree next to my house. I think the lightning hit it or something. It was like down, but didn't know the weather was coming. But anyway, crazy weather. I got three questions for you real quick, and maybe you can have you answer. Can a sitting president be admitted to a mental institution? Number one. Okay. Number two, did Trump get denied and his son at Harvard University? And I think that would that open up doors if it does pass? And three, do the people in Washington, the rich people in Washington, don't all their kids go to school for free and they get free Medicare and Medicaid, even if they're not in college? And why are they putting that pressure on people outside of the government and they can't afford it? I'm going to leave it up to you.
Okay. I am assuming that a sitting president, if it got to that point, could be admitted to a mental institution, because a president could be admitted to the hospital if that was necessary. But, you know, there are a lot of things that might not be definitive that lead to people being in mental institutions, and it's not like it's a blood test, or it's not like a well-defined disease that would allow you to be admitted to the hospital. So it might be a little bit subjective, to the point where it would be unrealistic to think that any president would ever be admitted to a mental institution. There are a lot of rumors, especially on social media, about the president's youngest son, Barron, being denied admittance to Harvard. I have yet to find anything conclusive on that. Ian, have you seen anything conclusive on that? I know there's a lot of talk about it, but I don't think there's anything conclusive on that. About Barron being rejected from Harvard.
No, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's a lot of rumors about this. I don't know. There's nothing that indicates that that is true. If we learn something, we'll pass that on. But I think that is a rumor at this point. And as far as President Kidd's going to school free, I think they pay. They've got benefits because, you know, their dad's president. But I believe that they would actually pay to go to the schools. But I don't know for sure, Clyde.
Okay, Clyde. I just want to know. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Have a great day. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, what do you have for us?
Hey, what's going on, Scoot?
Life as we know it.
Yeah, man. Hey, look, I'm rest in peace to Rick Derringer. Rock
yeah,
and roll,
I did.
Coup.
We got a text about that. I missed that earlier this morning.
Yeah, and he wrote a lot of hits with the Winners, Edgar Winners and Frank Frankenstein.
He
wrote a lot
he
of that.
He was not in the McCoys, was he?
I'm not sure. I know he was a writing.
I don't think so.
He was the lyricist for a lot of the stuff with the Edgar Winners band and. Of course, rock and roll Hoochie Coo. But,
yeah.
You know, speaking a couple things, and I was kind of joking with Ian because it's about to get hot and hurricane season. You don't see many festivals in New Orleans this time of year, but there is one really big festival this coming weekend, maybe the last one, besides Ian brought up the Satchmo Fest, which is like in the dead of the summer.
August.
Something like that's crazy. We were laughing about that. But the Lafitte Seafood Festival this weekend, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday on the West Bank. It's a three-day festival, great food. It's going to be some country acts, some other acts, Them Old Ghosts, Shorts in December. And the headliner Saturday is the country act, Tracy Lawrence. So we're going to be out there. I hope you can come out there. And speaking of people with the name Rick, I know you're a big Rick Springfield fan. You know, he's going to be on the Gulf Coast this Sunday in Goshen at the new amphitheater they built out there with Wang Chung and John Waite. Now, I know you're a big John Waite fan. I know you're a big Rick Springfield fan. So maybe you can get Ian to cover for you Monday and you make you go out there Sunday and make a night of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I could go Sunday and make it back, so I don't necessarily have to have Monday off. But yeah, I'll check into that. All right, let's go to Janice. Hey, Janice, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm okay. But the other day, one of the things that got me, though, about what Trump had posted, what stood out to me big time was how he started it. Happy Memorial Day? Really?
Yeah, well, Janice, I understand. People don't
stop to think.
No, they don't.
He's not the only person that's ever done this.
Yeah.
But if your son was in the military and you lost him, or if Trump's sons had been in the military and you lose someone, no, it's a day of remembrance. It's a solemn day.
It is.
It's not a day for anyone. I don't think anybody that lost someone is having a case of the happies.
All right, is it wrong to go to the beach and party during Memorial Day weekend?
I mean, people do it. It's not something I would do, no.
Is it wrong?
I mean, people can do it.
But as long as...
any other weekend, you know.
As long as people remember. I mean, as long as people remember and realize that that people died so they have the freedom to go to the beach to celebrate, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a good time on Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, but I've just heard somebody say happy. It's not happy. It's not happy at all. And I told him with asterisks that he was being an a-hole for that. No, I've heard many people do that. He's not the only person who's ever said happy Memorial Day, but it's not happy.
Yeah.
It's a sad day for many, many people.
Well,
it's a solemn day for many people. Well, sad day.
Yeah, it is. I agree. And I mean, we celebrate their lives, but I don't say happy Memorial Day.
No, no, not really. You have to think, what does the word memorial mean?
Yeah.
What does the word memorial truly mean? If you lose someone, are you really going to be happy about it? I just think it was stupid to do that. And that is how he started it off. Happy Memorial Day. And to me, that was just a stupid.
All right, Janice, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
If it was wrong for Hillary to call Trump supporters deplorables, was it wrong for Trump to call Democrats scum?
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a day to remember the war dead, the people that have been lost. Yeah. I don't even know how that even would have came up. How it shouldn't have come up in his post there.
Yeah.
You know? How does that fit in with what the day was really supposed to be about. It's not the right thing to do. No, I'm not down with that. No, because she called people the deplorables and he's calling people scum. And I mean, no, I don't think that's the way to do things, no.
Right. Janice, I'm glad you called. Thanks for listening. If you have a comment you want to join us, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. You know, there's so much hypocrisy, and there's so much juvenile behavior in politics today. Like, well, you're deplorables. Yeah, well, you're scum. I mean, you know, your mother wears army boots. I mean, you know, what's next? Well, I was watching the forecast. I had that rainy day feeling, but I'm looking out of the window, and I don't see much of a rainy day forecast out there. Again, I don't know. Maybe the rain's coming this afternoon. All right, we will take a look at Scoot's news briefs coming up, and we'll get to some of your text messages. It's a warm Tuesday afternoon. I know, it feels like a Monday. It's going to be a short week because of Memorial Day yesterday. I'm Scoot on the air on WWL. Yeah, I mean, this is the way it should be. I mean, we don't care who we are. We're Americans first, and somehow that has slipped away. I will continue to do what I can on this show to promote the idea that we're Americans first. And we've lost that. We have absolutely lost that. And I don't see people trying to, I don't see many people trying to bring that together. I don't see many people trying to change that to where we're Americans first. Well, we'll try to do it on this show, but, you know, we can't move a mountain. We can't do it alone. We need you to be part of that. And there's so many people who are so happy with the divide. I mean, they get pleasure out of the divide. They get pleasure out of putting people down. They get pleasure out of arguing. They get pleasure out of just putting people down because I think it makes them feel better about themselves. And there's so many people who are not willing to admit that the person that they put so much faith in is not perfect and has not been totally faithful to them or this country. They can't admit that. And so he continues to go on and do what he does, like bring up Biden during the solemn moment of a speech at the Arlington National Cemetery. You don't bring up your past opponent. You don't bring that up during that speech. I mean, that's egotistical. It's selfish and it's juvenile. And he called Democrats scum over the weekend. And if it was wrong for Hillary to say that Trump supporters were deplorable, it's equally wrong for the president to say that Democrats are scum. But a lot of people don't want to even acknowledge that. All right, let's go to Roy in Houma. Roy, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hold on a second. Okay, I'm on my car phone. I don't know how it works. But on immigration, my nephew immigrated to Australia a few years back, and it took 5 years and $10,000 a year for 5 years in back taxes, like, because of socialized medicine, he had to pay his way into the system. So it was 5 years and 10,000 five times 10, $50,000.
Yeah. Well, I can't speak for other countries. I think you know, if people come here with good intention, and if there are people who were brought here by their parents, they did not make the decision to come here illegally. And if they're here and they're working hard, contributing to the system, a lot of Americans are not contributing to the system, but they are. I think there should be an easy path to citizenship for them.
Yeah, I think we have enough immigration laws that have worked for years and years until the last 15 years, and suddenly the system's broken. I just don't get it. You know, it's strange.
Well, it is strange, and clearly, you know, clearly too many people have poured across our border, and that should never have happened, and it did happen, and, you know, the border was a crisis when Trump was in office the first time, and it just got got worse under Joe Biden, and the president, and I give him credit for this, stopped the flow of people into the country, but that's not a long-term solution, and Republicans and Democrats are going to have to work together, even if they don't want to try to make that better.
I agree 100%. Thank you, Scoot.
All right, Roy, I'm glad you called. Thanks for listening down on the Bayou. All right, let's take a look at Scoot's news briefs. In a longstanding tradition, the American presidents on Memorial Day would always talk to the media from Arlington National Cemetery, where fallen soldiers have been buried, and President Donald Trump was there yesterday to pay tribute to the fallen soldiers.
President Donald Trump placed a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier and then made remarks at Arlington National Cemetery. Trump paid tribute to Gold Star families who've lost loved ones who served the country.
We share in the sorrow of their beloved families, and as one nation, we give thanks for the ultimate gift they have so selflessly given to all of us.
Adding,
thank you, thank you, thank you for giving America the brightest light in your lives. It's what you've done. We will never, ever forget our fallen heroes, and we will never forget our debt to you.
You know, I wish when the president spoke, he spoke with more sincerity. I wish it didn't sound like he was reading when he's talking about the soldiers. I will never forget the debt to you. It just should be more sincere than that. I'm sorry, but that's my opinion. The White House is pushing forward with its war against Harvard University.
The Trump administration is taking another step in its fight with Harvard. A senior administration official says the government's asking federal agencies to cancel remaining contracts with Harvard, which could take millions of dollars from the school's budget. The administration's already canceled more than $2.6 billion in federal research grants to Harvard, which has pushed back against President Trump's demands for changes to several policies. He's blasted how much money the government gives the Ivy League school.
Billions of dollars has been paid to Harvard. How ridiculous is that?
A federal judge Friday blocked the government from cutting off Harvard's enrollment of foreign students. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Yeah, and that's, you know, going to be interesting to watch, and we'll continue to follow that. But it's all about freedom of speech, and this is something that this president doesn't seem to respect, and it's pretty scary when a president doesn't respect freedom of speech. The president is delaying a big tariff against the European Union, and markets are breathing a sigh of relief today.
President Trump says he'll push back the 50% tariff he's threatened on goods from the European Union until July, after a talk with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
She asked for an extension on the June 1st date, and she said she wants to get down to serious negotiation because I've told you specifically, haven't I told anybody that would listen? They have to do that. And we had a very nice call, and I agreed to move it. I believe June 9th would be, July 9th would be the date.
The president spoke to reporters as he returned from graduation at the United States Military Academy at West Point.
She said, we will rapidly get together and see if we can work something out.
Jennifer King, Washington.
A Ukrainian official says a Russian drone attack on Ukraine was the biggest of the three-year war.
Yuri Inat, head of the Ukrainian Air Force's communications department, tells the AP the Russian bombardment had included 355 drones, with Moscow also firing 9 cruise missiles. Officials say some civilians were injured, but no deaths were immediately reported. On Saturday night, the Ukrainian capital Kyiv and other regions also came under a massive Russian combined drone and missile attack, killing around a dozen people at least. Ukrainian officials had described it as Russia's largest aerial assault during the war. President Donald Trump says Russian leader Vladimir Putin has gone crazy by stepping up the bombing of Ukraine.
We're in the middle of talking and he's shooting rockets into Kiev and other cities. I don't like it at all.
I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Yeah, but what about this friendship with Trump and Putin? What about the friendship that he talked about? Man, Putin is spanking Trump over this. He's spanking him by, you know, continuing the war. And I mean, so, you know, Mr. President, what's going on with Vladimir Putin?
Yeah, I'll give you an update. I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people. And I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him. But he's sending rockets into cities and killing people. And I don't like it at all.
Okay, but what are you going to do about it? I mean, that's the question. I don't know if he can. I think he's afraid of Putin. I think he respects him and admires him because he's a dictator, but I think he's kind of afraid of Putin. There are people like Lindsey Graham and Charles Grassley, Republicans. They're saying that Trump needs to do something, and Lindsey Graham even says, if he doesn't do something, I'll do something about it. Well, hopefully somebody does something about it because, you know, this war should end. But I don't know if Donald Trump has the cojones to do what he needs to do with Putin. Ah, we'll wait and see. The Duck Dynasty TV star, who became a conservative cultural icon, has passed away.
Phil Robertson, the patriarch of TV's Duck Dynasty, has died. He was 79. Robertson's death comes 6 months after his son Jace shared in a podcast that Phil was battling a blood disease and early stage Alzheimer's. The reality show Duck Dynasty first aired on A&E in 2012 and ran for 11 seasons. It followed the adventures of Phil, the founder of Duck Commander, a company that made duck calls, and his family life in northern Louisiana. In 2013, the self-proclaimed Bible Thumper was briefly suspended from the show after an interview for GQ in which he talked about homosexuality as a sin and race relations in the South before the Civil Rights era. He had a second career as a speaker on the Christian circuit. In 2016, Robertson endorsed Ted Cruz for president.
Is he or she godly? Does he or she love us? Can he or she do the job? And finally, would they kill a duck and put him in a pot and make him a good duck gumbo?
I'm Jennifer King.
You know, I'm sorry he's passed away. I certainly didn't agree with much of his hypocrisy, but you know, I think a lot of people tuned into that show, and I think at its highest point, they had 2 million viewers. I think Duck Dynasty was popular because a lot of people just found it interesting that there were people like that in modern times. And unfortunately, they looked at that and thought that everybody in Louisiana was that way. And, well, as you know, we're not. This, to me, is a sign of the apocalypse. I believe this is in the book of Revelation. Not positive about it, but I think this is clearly a sign that the world is coming to an end.
Southwest Airlines' free checked bag policy is getting ready for takeoff. Starting Wednesday, passengers will now be charged $35 for a first checked bag and $45 for a second. Those who have not reached the upper tiers of its Rapid Rewards loyalty program, bought a business class ticket, or hold the airline's credit card will have to pay for checked bags. The decades-long policy allowed people to check up to 2 bags for free. In September, the airline estimated that charging the extra fees would bring in about $1.5 billion a year, but cost the airline $1.8 billion in lost business. Southwest has struggled recently and is under pressure from activist investors to boost profits and revenue. The airline's shares rose 3% at the opening bell Tuesday, along with other carriers. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
Well, this is really pretty fascinating. You know, shares go up because I guess they think that Southwest is going to make more money now, but you know, this is one of the things that I would take into consideration when flying Southwest. And by the way, you know, I was bragging about that nonstop that Alaska Airlines had between New Orleans and Portland. It's over. It was just temporary during Mardi Gras and the Super Bowl. So it's over. So, you know, now I can't get to Portland nonstop. So it's hard to get there. Anyway, I just think this is clearly a sign of the end of the world when Southwest starts charging for baggage. All right, that's it for a look at Scoot's News Briefs. All right, we're going to come back with more. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm going to ask Ian if we've gotten any response to this question, because I think a lot of people do not want to answer this question. If it was wrong for Hillary to call Trump supporters deplorable, was it wrong for Trump over the weekend to call Democrats scum? If you've got a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1964, 11 young boys were suspended from the Woodlands Comprehensive School in Coventry, England, because they had Mick Jagger-style haircuts. Headmaster Donald Thompson said the lads were sent home because their hair was long and scruffy, but they could return if they cut their hair neatly like the Beatles. Now, you know, the Stones did have longer hair than the Beatles. And for those of you who were not part of that era, the Beatles were, in the beginning, the Beatles were the good boys. They were they were different. They were rebellious. They were the, you know, the music of the anti-establishment generation. But they were the nice, clean-cut boys. The Stones and the Animals, they were ugly. They were the ugly bands. They were the bad boys. And there really was this distinction between the good boys and the bad boys back in the 60s. All right, I'm Scoot. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages. Do we have any responses to the question, if Hillary called Trump supporters deplorables, was it wrong for Trump to call Democrats scum?
Yeah, Mark answered as directly as possible. He said, I'll answer your question. Yes, Trump was wrong to call Dems scum. He is tact deficient, no class. Hillary, too, for that matter, but Trump is worse. Here's another text that says, Hillary Clinton only called them deplorable once. He is constantly name-calling. There is a big difference.
Well, I guess the question is, why isn't he called out for this? It's almost like conservatives who are MAGA-type supporters are more likely to bitch and complain and attack if there's something negative about Trump than if there's than the Democrats are if there's something negative about them.
Yeah, it's really hard to deny that this sort of like name calling, brash, kind of like finger in your chest style to politics appeals to a lot of Americans. A lot of people will, you can stop him on the street and say, that's why I voted for him. He says what I'm thinking. He tells it like it is. He's a straight shooter. But then those same people don't understand why the people getting a finger shoved in their chest don't like that.
Right.
And they complain about that all the time. It's like you elected the king of the jerks and then got surprised when he's a huge jerk to everybody and everyone complains about what a jerk he is. Like, you did this.
I think some of the people who have attacked me on my Facebook page, I think some of them are really taken aback when I give it back to them.
Yeah.
I think they're surprised. I mean, they don't like it, but they started it. And so, you give it to me. Look, sometimes I'm going to ignore you. In a few cases, I just block you. But, sometimes I'm going to engage and go, well, wait a minute. Let me show you what this feels like.
The truest test of what behavior is acceptable or not in American politics is to test, to see what the reaction is when a Democrat does it. That's it. That's the whole kit and caboodle right there. There is no other way to measure what is tolerable in our civic discourse anymore. You have to wait for a Democrat to do it and see what the reaction is and say, oh, well, we don't want that. Oh, we didn't want you. We didn't want that kind of straight shooter. We didn't want that kind of person who says what they think.
And I tell you, Ian, one of the really scary things that's going on now, and people are short-sighted. They're not looking at this. But any new rights granted this president through judicial precedent is going to be granted to every president.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a Democrat one day. There's going to be a Democrat in the White House, and all these Trump supporters are not going to like the Democrat having the same power they want Trump to have.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, here's a text about foreign policy. It says, why the hell is it our job to stop anything outside of the U.S.? Who helps us in times of conflict? Why is anyone's business other than the two sides fighting?
Really?
That's what they said.
Well, first of all, there's nobody else like the United States. So when you're like the big guy that can take care of things, you've got a responsibility to take care of things. We have a history of fighting for democracy. Ukraine's democracy was being threatened by Vladimir Putin. We have a responsibility to help protect democracy. Why is that so difficult to understand?
Helping solve problems in other parts of the world is what made America great.
It's what we've always done. I mean, we were, before December 7th, 1941, we were an isolist nation.
Isolationist.
Isolationist. That's what I meant to say.
There you go.
We were an isolationist nation. And that didn't work. We got brought into it. And then we learned that sometimes we have to get into it. I mean, nobody will ever forget that very important war in Grenada, where we really did stand up for justice in Grenada.
I don't think anybody wants America to play like world cop necessarily and have to get involved in every armed conflict around the world. But it behooves us. It behooves your interest, Scoot, and my interest and our interest as a nation of people, as taxpayers, to have American interests looked out for in parts of the world that you never think about. On trade, resource extraction, military, guns, drugs, right, all kinds of international crimes. We've been able to tamp down on that for the last 7 years through soft power and occasionally hard power to our benefit. We're not doing it because we love everybody in South Sudan so much. We're doing this because it helps us as a country.
Well, it's true. And, this kind of goes back to the wars or the conflicts that were designed to stop the spread of communism. you know, we were part of that in South Vietnam. We were part of that. That's a whole different story, of course. But there was an attempt by a dictator to take over a democracy. He was not going to stop with Ukraine. He was going to move on after Ukraine. And then it could have been Poland. So we are stopping a bully, maniacal dictator from taking over democratic countries. And I think that's a worthy cause. Some people can disagree with that. But being an isolationist in 2025 is not going to work. All right. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar on this day, in 1977, the Sex Pistols released God Save the Queen, an iconic punk rock anthem that was very, very controversial. It was released just in time for Queen Elizabeth II's Silver Jubilee celebrations, and the single was banned by most mainstream media in the UK. I mean, is it kind of a terrible song, but, you know, this was typical of the punk rock back in the late 70s. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back. This is WWL. I'm Scoot on the air. Hey, remember to try to win your tickets to Mumford & Sons. They're going to be at the Waldenburg Park, Sunday, August 3rd. It's the Railroad Revival Tour. Get your tickets. English Folk Rock Celebration in New Orleans on the riverfront. Mumford & Sons and friends, including Trombone Shorty, courtesy Live Nation and WWL. Just go to WWL.com/contest and try to win your tickets to Mumford & Sons. I'm Scoot. We're coming back. We'll talk about the American Music Awards next on WWL.